to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
And a very good morning from Andrew Hughes on this Friday morning edition of the Breakfast Bite. Lots of sport happening overnight, lots of sport happening as we speak. In a moment, we'll bring you right up to date, look at the World Cup of Football, AFL action underway last night, Australia v England in the cricket, tennis, golf, horse racing as well, on this Friday morning edition of the Breakfast Bite. Yes, welcome along. I wonder how much sleep you're getting. So much sport to stay up or to get up early for. And of course, stay with us at 6, the Breakfast Club, with a big Friday morning edition, including the Friday football panel. Let's start with football of the round ball code. And Australia's hopes in the World Cup remain alive just. Overnight, they played a 1-1 draw against Denmark. The Danish side going ahead early after 7 minutes, but the Australians with an equalising penalty converted, 38 minutes to make it 1-1. There were no further goals in the match, so a 1-1 draw, Australia v Denmark. Once again, Mille Jedinak converting the penalty, as he did in the first game for the Aussies. SBS coverage. So what does that mean? In the other game overnight from the Australian group, France 1 beat Peru 0. So France are through. They've won both their opening two games, beating the Aussies, of course, and then beating Peru. And Australia now must defeat Peru in their match next week and hope that France beat Denmark. Those games will be played Tuesday into Wednesday our time. So once again, repeating, Australia playing a 1-1 draw against the Danish overnight with both goals in the first half and nothing to add in the second half in the match. And Australia now must defeat Peru but still have to rely on a win to France over Denmark. And of course, France, though, are already through to the last 16. So in terms of incentive and motivation, who knows what happens there. Let's hear from Australian skipper Mille Jedinak. He converted the penalty, likewise in the first game the Aussies played. He spoke post-match after the draw to SBS.
Mille, a massive performance from the Australian team today. You must be very proud of your players.
Yeah, again, you know, leading just continuation of the last game. Obviously, the result was different this time. We're maybe unlucky not to get all 3 points, but very proud, very proud. We're still in it. We've still got a chance. And we'll keep holding on to that and you know, we'll go again.
The team seemed to grow in belief, certainly in that first half, and then controlled completely in the second half. Is there a part of you that feels that you probably should have had the win?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you felt that, although it was a slow start from us, you know, we put ourselves a little bit under pressure by giving them some free kicks and stuff close to the area. But we, you know, we got ourselves back in the game. And like you said, you felt in control, but you always knew that they were a threat. You know, we restricted them to very limited opportunities and, you know, if it weren't for a little bit of luck, we might have had another one.
One game left in this World Cup now. Do you have the confidence now to go on and do the job and get through to the second round?
We have to have that belief. If anything, with this group, we know we got belief and we got that in abundance and we'll continue to believe until that final whistle come next week.
Mille Jedinak. So from the Australian skipper, let's hear from the Australian manager, in Bert van Marwijk, speaking on SBS after the draw.
Socceroos coach Bert van Marwijk, a controlling performance from the Socceroos. Do you feel that you deserve something more from that game?
Yeah, you know, the disappointment is actually after two games, we should have had 4 points. And we deserved it. We played very well against the number 12 of the world, so we can be proud again. And we didn't lose, but we had chances also to win. So, yeah.
Once the players settled into the game, they really did seem to get control, probably after about 15, 20 minutes. Is that pleasing, at least from your perspective?
Yeah, I think the first part of the game, we were not convinced that you can easily play against them. And after 15, 20 minutes, they saw the solution. And you see, from that moment, we controlled the game. They were afraid of us. And yeah, especially in the second half, we were not lucky also. Normally you score at least one goal extra.
And one more match now against Peru. What will be your message to the players from here?
Yeah, I cannot blame them. They gave everything. They played very well. And we deserve to win. So what can I say?
There you go. So Bert van Marwijk post the Australian draw against the Danish. So repeating, Australia 1, Denmark 1, a draw. France 1, Peru 0. So Australia must beat Peru, but still have to hope on a France win over Denmark. And waiting on a full-time score shortly, Argentina-Croatia late in that game as we speak. The World Cup of Football continues. You can catch our reports with Francis Leach in Russia, of course, on the Breakfast Club.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Well, to the football code back home, Aussie rules, and round 14 underway last night. A big result for Essendon in the West. This was an upset. Certainly at Tab, they were big outsiders, although there was good money for them late off the back of a few changes for West Coast with no Kennedy. Certainly the price on the Bombers did trim up by game time. But in the end, Essendon 12-8-80, West Coast 6-16-52, a 28-point margin. The story here, the start. Essendon, 6-0 in the first quarter, or one behind for West Coast, I should say. In fact, at one stage in the second quarter, the scoreline read Essendon 50, West Coast 1 behind, a remarkable stat. So it was 37 points at quarter time, 40 points at half time, 37 at the last change, and 28 points the final margin. Young Smith with 3 goals. Stringer kicked 3 goals all in the first quarter. And for the West Coast Eagles, Cripps with 2 goals. So what a result for Essendon on the road in the West. And they're now a game outside the eight, making a late run at things in the season after some horror patches early on. Let's hear from Essendon coach John Worsfold after the Bombers had that terrific result last night, beating West Coast in Perth.
Every win is always enjoyable, obviously. It was a tough game, and but overall, we're obviously pleased that we took the opportunities early when we had them and just kept that pressure on all night.
They really took the game on early as well, especially through the middle. We saw Saad and McKenna and guys like that. Was that the plan going in, or did that just sort of evolve?
Well, that's sort of the plan, yeah. Like, get those guys, that's their strength. And where they can, they know they've got the licence to take the game on and go for it. And those opportunities presented early, they were ready for them. And I thought our ball movement going forward was really dangerous early. Good decision-making and, gave us obviously a great buffer to start with.
You spoke about the chemistry of the group yesterday, John, improving, and the recruits in the first quarter were sensational. How did you view the way they played early?
Yeah, look, I would have hoped that that was going to be an area of continued improvement throughout the year. What those guys are understanding about the way we want to play and what they bring to the team, but everyone getting to know each other a lot better. So we're seeing a lot of improvement across the board. Even our young midfielders like McGrath and Guelphy and playing their roles, they're really having a strong impact on the team. But they're still learning, about how they play alongside some of those more senior mids.
That starts in the match, Bush. How much of it was down to you guys just playing so well, and how much was it down to West Coast just being a bit off the boil there?
As coaches, you can never pick what that is. Pre-game, during a quarter, why are we looking like that? I can't answer that other than saying, we thought our preparation coming off the Brisbane game has been pretty solid. Players had their four-day break, got back into our workload pretty quickly and thought they were, really well prepared for the game.
And what's running through your mind when the scoreboard reads 50-1?
Yeah, I didn't know it got out that far. So we're just constantly looking at what's happening within the game, roles at playing, expecting that West Coast may throw things around a bit, and how much we want to react to that, or whether we stick with some of the strategies that we were going with. So those things are happening the whole time. You're not really considering the scoreboard.
Well, Jake Stringer seems to have really settled in now. His last month has been pretty good, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's played better than that. He got a little bit of criticism early, but he played some good games early as well. He did a couple of quieter games, but overall he's settling in really well. Now, yeah, he had a bit of a sore leg tonight early and wasn't moving anywhere near what we know he can for the majority of the night. But he stayed out there and played his role for us. And, you know, early on he hit the scoreboard and he had chances, you know, probably to kick five or six goals, but he was hindered fairly badly in that last three and a bit quarters.
We saw guys through the night. Mason Redmond, I think, was another one.
Just late, yeah. Late in the game he hurt his ankle, so we'll have to assess that. I think Josh Green was the other one who was hobbling a bit. He got stomped on his foot, so he has had foot issues in the past. So it's always a concern when he's got a sore foot, but he does feel as though someone trod on him in a marking contest, so we'll hope that that's what the issue is.
You've won four of the last five now. That's great momentum. Where do you think you can take it from here?
Hopefully take that momentum into next week. That's the main focus. Yeah, we've made things pretty tough through a scratchy period in early in the season, but we're building better form, better chemistry. Overall, we just look forward to, you know, another massive game against the Kangaroos next week, hopefully in front of a full house.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
John Worsfold, yes, they are one game and percentage out of the eight. One gets the feeling, though, that horror run of form a few months ago will cost them, but for now, they have, won four of their last five. Well, the opposite for the West Coast Eagles, just wobbling slightly. And now, with another loss, let's hear from Adam Simpson after what was obviously a horror start. At one stage, as we mentioned, it was 50 points to one behind early in the second quarter.
What do you put the start down to?
Yeah, the start was really poor by us. Really good by Essendon. We couldn't stop their rebounding defenders, and nothing to do with personnel. We just couldn't win the contest in the midfield the way we wanted to. And then they broke tackles and broke lines, which gave them goal side opportunities. And they were too tough for us in the first quarter, which is really disappointing for us. The rest of the game, I thought we played better. And then the goal kicking and the missed opportunities probably kicked in. But the damage was done in the first quarter, so I think we'll reflect on that heavily over the weekend and come Monday.
Was there anything in the lead-up you can put your finger on that?
No. We'll look into it. Yeah, we'll reflect on what we did to prepare the players. We've started pretty well this year. Like, we're probably one of the best sides. In fact, we probably are the best first quarter side in the comp. So, and Essendon are pretty good too, you know. So, 6-day break, no excuses for the start. So we're not going to put it down anything other than our effort and our inability to win a contest.
You knew it was going to be tough without Darling and Kennedy, obviously, in the forward line, but 59 inside 50s for six goals.
I mean, that's what it was.
How do you assess that?
Yeah, I think we can talk about the supply versus scoring and, you know, how many shots of goal do we have?
22.
Yeah, so we had 22 shots. But that was after quarter time. So we can work on that. And in fact, that was probably the things I thought we'd be needing to work on, is how we're going to put the pieces together in the front half. If we get the supply, we can work on that.
Adam Simpson. So AFL round 14 last night. Essendon, the upset in the West, beating West Coast by 28 points. Big game tonight in Adelaide. Port Adelaide taking on Melbourne. Melbourne having a very good season, as we know, but still a few unanswered questions. And off the back of their poor showing against Collingwood, this is another big test for the Demons. Let's hear from Simon Goodwin in Adelaide on the eve of the match tonight.
Look, I think, you know, we're we're not oblivious. The noise is that we're, you know, can't play in these type of games. So it's, you know, it's another opportunity for us to grow and get better. You know, we look forward to these opportunities. Those narratives we've changed along the way are, you know, we couldn't, when Eddie had, we couldn't beat St Kilda, couldn't beat North Melbourne. So we've dealt with these along the way. So this is just another opportunity to grow and get better. And I know our players are looking forward to that challenge.
Criticism fair, do you think?
Oh, it's reality. Now, we're dealing reality. So that's the, what the narrative is at the moment. But that doesn't mean it can't change quite quickly as well. So you know, our players are looking forward to these games. All we're really focused on is building a really strong footy team that play in these type of games. And there's nothing better than going out to Adelaide playing against a really strong footy club and looking at that as an opportunity to get better and getting great experience at playing in those games.
Simon Goodwin at TAB. There has been a bit of money for Melbourne. They have shortened up but still are the outsiders. Port Adelaide $1.65 and Melbourne to win now $2.30. They were a bigger price a few days ago, so a few punters thinking the Demons have a bit of a chance. We'll take a break, come back with more. This is the Breakfast Bite. Don't forget the Breakfast Club coming up soon and the big Friday football panel part of today's show.
This is the Breakfast Bite.
Andrew Cuse on this Friday morning on The Breakfast Bite. Shortly, The Breakfast Club with more sporting results and news, including more on the cricket from England, where Australia batting first made 8 for 310 overnight. They've been comprehensively belted in this series. And two century makers, the highlight, though, in that 8 for 310, with Finch making 100 and Marsh making 101. England, though, themselves put on 174 for the opening wicket, with Roy making a century, so plenty of runs being scored in that one-day international. Overnight in England, we had more coverage of the Royal Ascot meeting, and the highlight on Thursday, England time. Overnight Friday, our time, was the Ascot Gold Cup.
Orsidor turns for Gold Cup glory first. Order of St George in second. Stradivarius is shaken up for Zirabad, working through the field for France in the green colours. But it's Orsidor who still has the lead. Stradivarius for Zirabad, and Order of St George are bearing down on the leader. A vintage Gold Cup. See Stradivarius and for Zirabad move to the lead. Stradivarius black colours for Zirabad, the green for the Aga Khan. Stradivarius. George, the first of the quartet to crack. 60th Royal Ascot success for Frankie Dettori. He and John Gosden were on fire on day one, and now they've landed the centrepiece of the royal meeting.
Stradivarius was the equal favourite, as we heard there, with Frankie Dettori aboard. That's his fifth Gold Cup and the 60th Royal Ascot win in his fantastic career. Here is Frankie Dettori post the win in the Gold Cup.
Frankie, what a battle that was on this horse, who has been so game. You said what a sweet horse he was when he won at York. Well, he wasn't sweet today. He was a lion.
He was a lion. He fought everything off. Born of St George, Maurice Zabad, and in the end, he took off, and he went perfect.
Frankie Dettori!
Just listen to that reception. For the man that's been dubbed Mr. Ascot over the years, why do you love this place so much?
Oh, I don't know. I come alive. I love it.
Do you know what, Frankie? When you come to Ascot, everybody says that you help lift the crowd. How much of a joy was it for you to be in that finish today? And how much did the crowd lift you when you got into that battle?
I think he lifted him. I just trying to time it right, and amazing. I mean, the Gold Cup is a showcase of the week. And, you know, to win a Gold Cup again, amazing. Especially my first one for John Gosden and the team. What they work marvellous behind the scenes, and they're all my friends. I give a big kiss.
Frankie Dettori, the Royal Ascot coverage continues tonight on RSN 927.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
In tennis, Nick Kyrgios through to the quarterfinals of the Queen's Club Tennis. He beat Englishman Kyle Edmund in three sets overnight, 7-6, 6-7, 6-3.
Oh, my word, has he won it?
He has.
That's amazing. Amazing from Nick Kyrgios.
First game.
He served 32 aces in the win, looked to be in good fitness. So from semi-finals last week to a quarter-final on the grass at the Queen's Club, Nick Kyrgios winning overnight. In other results in the grass court event in Germany at Halle, it was Aussie Matthew Ebden with a three-set win over number six seed Philipp Kohlschreiber. And Matthew Ebden will now play Roger Federer in a quarter-final of the Halle tournament in Germany. On the grass, though, in Birmingham, in the women's tournament there, Aussie Ashley Barty beaten in straight sets in her second-round clash. Just some golf, the European Tour in Germany for the BMW International. Tough day, very windy conditions, and the best score of the day was 4-under-68. Sebastian Grosch of France leads. Just outside the top 10, two Aussies, Wade Ormsby and Scott Henn, both shot 1-under-par rounds, which, as I mentioned, did not have too many in front of them, given the tough conditions. And the US PGA Tour, it's round one of the Travelers Championship in Connecticut, and US Open champion Brooks Koepka shot a opening round of 2-under to be just outside the top 20 as that round continues as we speak. He's the first US Open champion that's played the week after winning in nearly 6 years. Other winners have taken the week off and had a celebration, but good to see Brooks Koepka keeping a commitment to play in that event. Best of the Aussies a short time ago was Matt Jones, who shot an opening round of 5-under. He was running in the top three a short time ago in round one action in the PGA Tour event there in Connecticut. Speaking of golf, the tributes continue for the late, great Aussie Peter Thomson overnight. Ian Baker Finch saying that Peter Thomson was a terrific mentor. He was a leader of men and acknowledged the part that he played in his career and his success. He, of course, also winning a British Open. Let's wrap up the show by playing some audio that I've found from our archives from a few years ago when I spoke to Peter Thomson about designing golf courses and the thrill of designing a golf course for people to play for years to come as much as his career on the course.
Do you get a thrill out of sitting beside the 18th at one of the courses you've designed, a scratch marker and an 18 handicapper walk off to the course, and they don't know who you are, but you overhear them saying, gee, that was an enjoyable round of golf, I enjoyed that. Is the satisfaction of leaving a golf course for people to play for decades just as a highlight in your life as playing golf?
Well, I'm like anybody else. I do get a nice thrill out of somebody coming up and congratulating me on a course or a hole. There was one fellow in Hong Kong last week who played in the World Amateur Team Championship at Royal Adelaide. And Royal Adelaide is one of my favourite courses, which my partner's steadily rebuilt over years. He said, I really enjoyed playing Royal Adelaide. And I said, oh, well, that's nice to know. Yeah, he said, it's a marvellous course. He said, I shot 90 on the Sunday because the wind blew hard, but I thought that was a tremendous compliment.
No, I think it was too. What about the other end of the scale? Do you like to pick an argument if you're sitting there quietly and you hear someone say, who the hell designed that bunker?
No, I don't do that because not everybody has the same tastes. And as my grandmother says, it takes all kinds to make a world. So I'm tolerant.
It does, and it takes all kinds to play this game well, but it takes a very special kind to win 5 major titles, and certainly as our greatest ever golfer in this country. Peter, great to catch up with you. Enjoy the day here at Sandhouse, and congratulations on another mark in our golfing history.
All right, you're very kind. Thanks, Andrew.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.